Well, startups have been in the news as a saviour to the economy. But when you're starting a new business from an idea, there is a lot you need to do. Venture capitalists with experience in startups would be just the person you would need. And Benjamin Chong is just that person.
Look, I'm very fortunate. I have been really lucky since the mid-90s to have started a number of technology businesses. Not all of them have been successful, but I have been through the process of starting, growing, buying and selling businesses. And over the last recent years, I have spent the money that I've been fortunate to have made to invest in businesses, and I've also had a number of investors give me their money to invest on their behalf. So my experiences are based on getting dirt under my fingernails and actually knowing what it is like to grow and scale a business.
And now you're helping other businesses start up?
Indeed.
Is there a way that you have to teach people how they approach investors and how they deal with investors? Is that something that people need to be trained to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Because while I think some things come to us naturally, being able to understand the investor perspective is critical. And I would suggest, as an investor, if you're going to be putting money into the share market, you know that if you put money in, you can actually take it out by selling it with your online broking account or online trading account or even your telephone broker. Usually, in a very early stage business, you're putting money into a private company and there is not much of an aftermarket for the shares that you own in that company because it is a private company. Now, as an investor, we're looking at what is the return we can make on the dollar that we put in this business. Is it going to grow 5 times, 10 times, 20 times? And one of the things that we do teach founders is that, as a rule of thumb, the earlier stage a business is, the larger a multiple of a return that the investor is wanting to get. And as a venture capitalist, we'd love to see returns that are 100 times what we put in. If we put a dollar, we'd love to get $100 out. At the minimum, if we put a dollar in, we'd love to get 10 or 20 times out. So that's the kind of mindset that a founder needs to consider if they're going to be taking money from external investors. Do they have the skills? Do they have the market potential? Do they have the possibility of growing this business 100 times?
And so when you look at TV shows like Shark Tank,
yes,
you know, where you're meeting these big entrepreneurs and so forth, should you think of things in that way? I mean, are you expecting people to perhaps have some expertise which they may give you as an investor?
Absolutely. So when we have a look at shows like Shark Tank, quite often those sharks are very, very wily and wise business people who have got contacts, they've got networks, they've got the ability to add value. So as a potential founder who is seeking investment, money is one thing, which is fantastic, but thinking about what are the other things the investor can bring to the party, whether it's opening their Rolodex, whether it is helping with advice, whether it is being able to introduce or refer new members of the team to that business, they're going to be very valuable things to help increase the chance of success for that founder.
So an investor could be a real asset because they could see that, you know, perhaps, well, look, you know, you need some help on the accountancy side or something.
Absolutely.
Let me put you in touch with blah, blah, blah.
Indeed.
Who can come in 2 days a week and relieve you of the burden of worrying about how you're going to do your books for the end of the month for the bank or something.
Exactly. Very few founders, in fact, very few of us are good at absolutely everything in the world, and therefore finding complementary investors, perhaps with experience in areas where you might be less familiar with, is a boon.
So is the scale of the business or the idea something that you look at? Because obviously some things are going to need like $1 million, other things are going to need $10,000. Is
exactly
that something you look at to start off with?
Yeah, I think one of the things to consider, whether you're an investor or you're just an interested party, is how big is this business going to be? Is this a business that is going to be a lifestyle business, which is going to generate a great income for the founders or the founding team? Or is this possibly a business that may have international customers and is going to have many, many customers, thousands or tens of thousands of customers around the world? And typically, those larger businesses require more funding.
Mm. And of course, the question of whether you're starting here or whether you're automatically in a worldwide market also makes a difference too, I would imagine.
Absolutely. So investors, generally speaking, like to find entrepreneurs who have big ideas and whose big ideas can actually have customers from around the world. Australia's a wonderful country. There's about 24 million of us here. But by the time you start segmenting the market, and we say even segment it by gender or segment it by age, that 24 million becomes a lot smaller. And obviously, someone who has a product that can service a much larger number of customers, even in the English-speaking world, could have many, many more sales.
And so, you know, what if you're looking at it from the point of view that, well, let's try the idea in Australia and then maybe we can sell it to some wealthy Americans.
Well, that's certainly something that a number of very successful entrepreneurs have done. They've used Australia as a test market to see if their concept actually has legs, to see whether there are customers for it. And then on the back of that early success, they've been able to grow that overseas.
Is our position in the Asia Pacific region a benefit for us here? I mean, being in the same time zone often helps.
I think that is the great opportunity that Australia has ahead. We have Western roots, but we are in the same time zone as over 60% of the world's internet population. So I was in Singapore last week and I met with a number of startups there at various stages of the life cycle. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if more Australian companies took advantage of people who are coming onto the internet immediately onto mobile devices, folks who are in countries where the average GDP per capita is rising significantly, where there are masses of middle class folks who desire to get access to new goods and services. I think that it's a tremendous opportunity for us to bridge that gap between East and West.
Food for thought for those of you considering starting up a business with your great idea. Benjamin Chong and people like him are out there.